नील प्रेम चांदा करन प्राचो Kota Gela Hacharya Taku Kahamor Swarupa Asanachalakan Kanasaragu Natapatita Pavavakan Kahamora Bhatya Yuga Kaha Kavira Eka Kale Kota Gela Guru Natara Pachane Kutribo Mata Onole Pashibo Goranga Gunera Nere Kota Gele Pabo Se Sapa Songira Sange Ye Koela Pila Se Sanga Napaya Kande Narata Modaha Dana Koruna Prahuchu Yehani Lo Prema Dana Koruna Prahuchu Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya Ostutada Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Vashtavadandas Goswami Vashila Prabhupad Kichai Iskan Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupad Kichai Ananda Koti, Vaishnava, Vrindagajaya, Namacharya, Siddharidas, Thakur Gajaya, Paramse, Kahochi Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaura, Bhakta Vrindagajaya, Sri Sri Radhakrishna, Gopagopada Sayam, Kundradakunda, Kidigo Vardhan Kijaya, Vrindavanam Kijaya, Maturam Kijaya, Navadipdam Kijaya. Would you go to the Sami Kajai? Yamunamai Kajai, Shimatkala Siddhev Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kajai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories, ye symbol of devotees. All glories, ye symbol of devotees. All glories, ye symbol of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kajai. So, read the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas written by Narottama Das Thakur. So, he brought the treasure of divine love, and it was filled with compassion and mercy. Where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Biditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Narottama Das Thakur. More devotees. So, it's a very, very important day since Narottama Das Thakur is the second generation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Pandit. Sit down. As we say in Hindi, Veto. Veto, Veto. And sit down, sit down. So, Narottama Das Thakur is the second generation from Lord Chaitanya, along with Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Pandit. So, here's the story. We're going to start telling the story, beginning with his spiritual master, whose name is Lokanath Goswami. So Lokanath Goswami was with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur, but he could not bear to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi. Actually, the devotees, they loved to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a householder, not as a sannyasi. In other words, when we have Gornatai deities, we don't dress Gornatai up as sannyasis. Also, in those days, sannyasis didn't dress the way sannyasis do today. Sannyasis dressed the way that we do today because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came up with this sannyas dress based upon the South Indian Ramanujacharya sannyasis. Not some other group. That was a false statement. It was actually based, because he spent some time, he went to Sri Rangam and associated with the head of the Sri Rangam Sampradaya and discussed sannyas with him and what sannyas meant. And therefore, he adopted this particular type of dress. Traditionally, the sannyas dress in Gaudiya Vaishnavism was more or less like the Babaji dress, and not like we are dressed right now. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas ostensibly in a Mayavadi Sampradaya, but the dress there was exactly the same. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a danda, too. That was an ekadanda. It was broken in three parts, which is interesting. Nowadays, we have a tree danda like they have in the South India Sampradayas. And so that part is broken in three parts by Lord Nityananda, showing that we have to have a tree danda rather than a naked danda. Anyway, so Lokanath Goswami was sent to Vrindavan along with Bhugarbha Goswami before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Lord Chaitanya sent him there. And then when he was in Vrindavan, he heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India. So then he went to South India to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when he was in South India, Lord Chaitanya had already left. So he heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan. Then he went back to Vrindavan. And then he heard Lord Chaitanya had left Vrindavan. So he wasn't able to see Lord Chaitanya, at least externally, in his lifetime or in his pastimes. And then he heard Lord Chaitanya was in Prayag, that's Allahabad, and he wanted to go there, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and said, "Stay in Vrindavan, don't worry, we will never be separated as long as you engage in my service." So you see, this is actually a very, very important point for us as far as being attached to the service of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and our spiritual master, that as long as we are attached to the service, we are never separated. Like Prabhupada would often say, there is no separation between him and his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very, very important point. That connects us, the service. So we can all be closely associated with Srila Prabhupada by serving his ISKCON movement. That's my particular goal in life, is just to serve Srila Prabhupada's movement, even though there may be so many troubles, like in a boat where it rocks back and forth, and you get a little seasick sometimes, and you're hanging off the edge of the boat, you know, doing whatever. So still you stay serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, no matter what, even if the other people on the boat attack you, which happens sometimes. Anyway, so getting back to the story, so he was serving Lord Chaitanya's mission, and then he was told by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a dream that Narottama Das Thakur will soon come there and he will be your disciple. So Narottama Das Thakur was predicted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one way. In another way, he was predicted that once upon a time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the village in which Narottama Das Thakur was born. The village was named Keturi, not Kichri. Keturi. And then he bathed in the Padma River. Very, very interesting. And when he bathed in the Padma River, he deposited his love of God. This is a very interesting deposit. And he started crying out, "Narottama, Narottama, Narottama." Of course, the word Narottama means the Uttama Nara. Uttama means topmost. It's a superlative term. How do you build? So superlative, there's, you know, comparative, and then what's the next one? There's comparative, and what is the next one? Superlative is the best. There's the second one after superlative, and I forget. Comparative, and then the one where it's better, and then the best, you know, good, better, best. Okay, got it? So that's superlative. So Narottama means the topmost person. Topmost person. So anyway, that was a nice name. And then, so he predicted Narottama would appear, and he deposited his love in the Padma River. Of course, no one else was able to get that love except for Narottama. It's not that you can go swimming in the Padma River and you'll get that same love. So, also, an astrologer predicted that the best of men would be born to Narottama Das Thakur's parents. And so that's why he was named Narottama, because the astrologer predicted that, and they based it upon the astrologer's statements. Anyway, so he took birth in Keturi, and Narottama Das Thakur, when he was very young, because this was before he was Thakur, Thakur is also the highest title one can have. I mean, we have different titles like Swami and Maharaj and all those things, because the word Maharaj was actually a king's title originally. But Thakur is like a Paramahansa title. So when we talk about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that means he's Paramahamsa. So that's why generally devotees should not have the appellation on their name, Thakur. It should be like Goswami Maharaj or Guru Maharaj or something like that. So Narottama Das Thakur refused to take rice at his grain ceremony until it was offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very, very indicative of his superlative position, that he was refusing to eat anything else other than prasadam. In fact, that's what you're supposed to do with the rice ceremony. Actually, as I travel, I do so many of these different grain and rice ceremonies for little babies. And there's many, many pictures of me picking up babies on the internet. So, sannyasi's duty. So, his father's name was Raj Krishnananda, and his mother's name was Narayani. And they were king and queen. So when we talk about king and queen, it's not like we have king and queens today. It's like almost like the mayor, not quite like mayor, because a mayor is an elected position. He doesn't own anything. It's almost like the feudal system that you had in Europe, that you had some person who was in charge of a land. He was a landholder, and he had so many serfs who worked for him. Serfs were men, not quite slaves. They were just like people who gave a portion of their income or a portion of their crop to this particular king. You know, the knights had that. The knights were also given land like that. So it was something like that. It was a very small kingdom. So at 12 years old, Narottama Das Thakur had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Nityananda said to him, go to the Padma, bathe there. So he went to the Padma River. He bathed there, and he came back, and his skin color changed. It became golden. And you see this amongst some people in India. They actually have golden skin, like Prabhupada had golden skin. I remember the first time I met Prabhupada, that evening we were in Prabhupada's room in Gainesville, Florida. Prabhupada was sitting in his gumsha on top of the bed, not the Vyasasan. He was actually giving initiation to different devotees at 11:30 at night, without a fire sacrifice. This devotee, Dharmadas, took initiation at that time. And another devotee, Bhagavat, and who else? Oh, Amarendra and Gayatri took initiation at that time. And so later on, it was the fire sacrifice. But it was interesting seeing Prabhupada give out the beads, and then Prabhupada gave the beads to Bhagavat, and Bhagavat grabbed them with his left hand, and Prabhupada said, right hand! And Bhagavat just like grabbed them to make sure that Prabhupada wouldn't take them back. So anyway, so there was a remembrance I had. So then Prabhupada had golden skin, and even we noticed that when Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan, when we looked at the Vyasasan later on, there was a golden glow where Prabhupada's feet were. It's pretty amazing. And that was the first day I was with Prabhupada. So that really cemented my Krishna consciousness, seeing all those things. It's very wonderful. I just have a very clear image of Prabhupada there. So anyway, so he went to bathe in the Padma, came back golden, was completely immersed in Krishna consciousness, became completely apathetic. Apathetic is a very interesting term. It means without pathos. It means without feeling. Towards material life. Not apathetic towards everything. But that's the word in Sanskrit is nirapeksha. That he was completely disinterested in anything material. It was just like, who cares? You know. And of course, he was brought up in a very wealthy family, so he became completely disinterested. Of course, his parents got an anxiety, like many of our parents got when we were disinterested, because we weren't disinterested as Narottama Das Thakur was. We were interested in other things, like liberation. And we were looking for knowledge. But anyway, his parents were in anxiety. They hired a lot of guards. Like in the modern days, that would be deprogrammers. And Narottama Das Thakur felt like he was in prison, being imprisoned by his parents' bodyguards. He had an associate named Krishnadas who related the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he also talked about Srinivasacharya, who was another great devotee, slightly older than Narottama Das Thakur. And a dream that Narottama Das Thakur had, he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Lord Chaitanya said, you will be initiated by Lokanath Goswami. So he was planning, very similar to the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. He was planning how could he escape from home. So he was planning one day, he escaped from home and he went to Vrindavan. So Rupan Sanatan had already passed away. Of course, there's that whole story when Srinivasacharya went to Vrindavan. Every time he went somewhere, these great devotees passed away before he got to the place, just before he got to the place. So Narottama Das Thakur was later, after Srinivasacharya experienced all that separation from these great Vaishnavas. So, but Srinivasacharya, who was still there along with Shivajiva Goswami, had a dream, and in that dream, he was informed that Narottama Das Thakur was coming the next day. It's interesting. These great devotees, of course, are very much connected on the spiritual platform. So, you know, they have dreams about each other. They see different signs. And so this is something these great devotees, because they're all eternal associates. So anyway, Narottama Das Thakur did come the next day. He met the remaining Goswamis who were there. That's Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami. And, of course, Lokanath Goswami and Bhogarbha were also there. Although Lokanath Goswami was actually older than all the other Goswamis. Lokanath Goswami is not one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, but he's considered on the same level as one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he worshipped the deities Radha Vinod. Those were his deities. And there's replicas of those deities in Govardhan. And there's a temple right there, right on the Radhakund, on the path going around Radhakund to the right. There's a little temple, and they're always chanting 24 hours a day for those deities. So, anyway, so he went to Lokanath Goswami and said, please become my Guru Maharaj. And Lokanath Goswami said, no, I'm not going to accept any disciples. He was very adamant about this because he just wanted to dedicate his life to preaching Krishna consciousness and to being absorbed in bhajan. So he thought, let someone else accept him as a disciple. And this is very interesting. Actually, one of my godbrothers who doesn't accept disciples mentioned, he said, I don't accept disciples because then all you think about is the disciples. he has a certain good point about it. Anyway, because at least many of them, at least 10 to 20% are having trouble at any one time. So Lokanath Maharaj refused, but Narottama Das Thakur thought, I have to serve him, and eventually he will accept me as his disciple. So every day he cleaned the latrine. Of course, in those days it just meant a place in the woods where Narottama Das Thakur cleansed the latrine where Lokanath Goswami was passing. And Lokanath Goswami just didn't know why it was always clean like that. So after a year, he had a dream, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and said, initiate Narottama Das Thakur. First of all, he was very reluctant, even after that dream. But then he was watching to see who was cleaning his latrine, and he noticed it was Narottama Das Thakur, and that was the test, and he initiated Narottama Das Thakur. Narottama Das Thakur was trained by Srila Jiva Goswami, along with Shyamananda and Srinivas. Like I mentioned, they're the disciplic descendants of next generation after the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And along with Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda, they took the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. And I think everybody knows the story of how these books were stolen by the king's men, King Virahambira. And this King Virahambira later on became a great devotee of Srinivasacharya, a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the meantime, Narottama Das Thakur visited Navadvip, and he had a vision of what it was like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. But then all of a sudden that vision disappeared. In other words, everybody was there who was around when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. He saw it, the whole thing. That's called a spurti in Sanskrit. That means a manifestation, like a vision or a manifestation. And sometimes you hear about this, especially in the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how devotees, they have some like spurti. You know, they're looking at a place like Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri and the Jiva Dharma. You have that one individual, he actually, you know, looked at Jagannath Puri and was able to see the spiritual world. Because underneath the curtain of Yogamaya, there's actually the spiritual world manifest. Anyway, and then it disappeared. And then Narottama Das Thakur visited Janavamata and Vasudha, that is the wives of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda had disappeared at that particular time. Then he visited Jagannath Puri, and finally went to Ekachakra. Ekachakra is the place where Lord Nityananda was born. And Lord Nityananda came to him in the guise of a Brahmin, and he guided Narottama Das Thakur around all the holy places around Ekachakra. And then, very interesting, after the guide took him all around Ekachakra, this guide, who was Lord Nityananda, manifested himself. Whoops, a nice worm. Do you have a tissue? I can take the worm away. It's actually a slug.
Oh my gosh.
No, he's attending class like everybody else. Yeah, the next life will all become slugs. The devotee slug. No, it's not on the deities.
I think the slug just came out.
He just came out afterwards. Yeah. So he turned, anyway, he manifested himself as Balaram and then became Lord Nityananda. So it's interesting, Lord Nityananda took him around Khetri, took him around Ekachakra. So then he went back to Khetri with his family, and he dreamt that there was a deity in something called a godown. Godown means like a warehouse. That's a fancy name in India for go down. It means a place of cows, actually. I mean, go down, which would mean a place of cows. So, but this go down was owned by a very, very rich man, and it was usually used for rice. And there's a lot of rice there, but the man couldn't take the rice out because there were these vicious snakes, which were actually, in one sense, incarnations of Ananta Shesh. And they were guarding the deity there. That's interesting. But nobody knew that. They were just afraid of the snakes. But Narottama Das Thakur went in. And then... then he found the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Vishnupriya in there. And then there were other deities too, of Radha and Krishna and other deities that were found. There were six deities found in the godown. And they were actually being guarded by these snakes. And so then they had this deity installation, this famous deity installation during Gaur Purnima. And Janavamata came to preside over the deity installation, and Lord Chaitanya's associates appeared when Narottama Das Thakur was leading the kirtan. Flowers all have poison on them. That's what I noticed when I was traveling, that all these commercial flowers, they actually spray them with something. So I react. My body is very sensitive to these things, so this is, they're all poison flowers. Anyway, so another thing. So Gorchitana's associates appeared, and they were all dancing together during the kirtan, and then they disappeared after the kirtan. And then had a very nice ceremony where they threw red powder at each other during the installation. And so very, very nice. This is the installation of these deities, the first big Gaur Purnima festival. So once upon a time, the Brahmanas complained, because Narottama Das Thakur was considered to be a Shudra. Now, his family was a king family. Well, there's a pen inside. There's more tissues here, don't worry. Yeah, there's more, but it's full of. You find so many things, Tommy's very expert. So, Narottamadas Thakur actually was from a Shudra family, Kayastha family, and this is, even though they were kings, it was more or less like Vaishya, Shudra type of family. So the Brahmanas complained that Narottamadas Thakur was a Shudra, and he was initiating Brahmanas. And so this, in those days, that was considered very bad. Even when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared, and he initiated people in the sannyas order, people as brahmanas and everything, even though they were from lower caste, there were attempts on his life because the brahmanas felt threatened, their livelihood was threatened. They closed all the shops in Vrindavan because they were just freaked out that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going to open up Vaishnavism for everybody or the brahminical behavior for every one of the brahmanas. They were just attached to being brahmanas because that was their monopoly in terms of making money. So, brahmanas complained to the king. The king's name was Narasingha. That means half man, half lion. Then Narasingha went with his scholars, especially there was Rupa Narayan, who was a big scholar, to defeat Narottamadas Thakur, because this is how they defeated people in those days. So, Narottamadas Thakur had very, very elevated disciples, and one person, of course, was Narottamadas Thakur's friend, which is Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was a disciple of Srinivasacharya. And so Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti went to the village before Kateri, where Narottamadas Thakur was, and they became shopkeepers in different shops, like a betel nut shop, another shop, vegetable shop like that. And when this party of the brahmanas who were supposed to defeat Narottamadas Thakur came to the village before Narottamadas Thakur's village, they went to these shops to buy some ingredients. And these shopkeepers began to speak in very high class Sanskrit and defeated them. And so they asked the shopkeepers, hey, you know, how did you learn everything? You know, you're all just shopkeepers, shudras. And they said, well, Narottamadas Thakur is our guru. He taught us everything. So they were thinking, wow, if the disciples are like this, then the guru must be 10 times more than this. So they got freaked out at that particular point. And that night, Rupa Narayan, who is the head brahmana attached to the king, Narasingha, had a dream. And in that dream, Durga came to him and said, I'm going to kill you unless you surrender to Narottamadas Thakur. So, obviously, he took a hint from Durga, and he surrendered to Narottamadas Thakur, and the king and the queen became initiated by Narottamadas Thakur. So, of course, recently in Fiji, we were celebrating this Navaratri. Navaratri means 9 nights. And it's the 9 nights of Durga. And they all have these Durga festivals and everything like that during that time. And they don't understand who Durga is. That Durga is actually a devotee of Krishna. And sometimes, even during Durga Puja, which is a different time of the year, people drink wine and kill animals and you know, slit their throats like goat's throats to worship Durga Devi. Just, they don't understand that Durga is actually Vaishnavi. Anyway, so I gave several classes in Fiji, and they're online, about this particular point, that Durga is a Vaishnavi, and she doesn't eat meat, and if you really want to worship her, you have to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, there's the interesting story of Narottamadas Thakur and Chand Roy. And so there was, once upon a time, the story goes, there was a king named Raghavendra Roy in Bengal. His son was Chand Roy, and Chand Roy wasn't as good as his father. He became a murderer and robber, and he used to torture, murder people. He had a big army of more than 5,000 horses and men, and he used to attack people, rape the women, and commit all sorts of abominable acts. People didn't even like to hear his name. He was so bad. And he even surpassed Jagai and Madai in his sinful activities. Pretty bad. He was a devotee of Durga. And he used to offer every month thousands of animals in sacrifice. This is a crazy thing. I just want to mention this, that has occurred not only in India, but in Nepal. They have this recent thing in Nepal. There's some stupid festival where they killed so many bulls and cows. Actually, like, I think like 100,000 or something like that.
And afterwards they had an earthquake.
Yeah, after they had an earthquake. You know, the stupid festivals people come up with, because there's no reference in the shastras about it. They just like develop some tradition because some idiot did it in the past, and then every idiot that follows later on does it. So you find the people are very attached. I mean, traditions can be useful to keep a society together. We're not denying that. And actually, Arjuna makes that point in the Gita. But people should understand why they follow a certain tradition, not just blindly follow it. And it's very important to understand that. You know, otherwise, you just like lose the sight of what you're doing in life if you just follow traditions. All right, so later on, this Chan Roy was possessed by a Brahmin ghost who tortured him from within and without. He just used to roll on the ground and suffered miserably. No one could help him. His father tried so many means to try to help him. You know, got an astrologer, got so many things. And finally, one astrologer came and the astrologer said, this Chan Roy can be only relieved with the help of a great devotee named Narottama Das Thakur. So the king sent a message to Narottama Das Thakur, but it never reached Narottama Das Thakur. Finally, when his son was on the verge of death, he cried for Goddess Durga, and she appeared and said, I have never accepted any offerings from you, and I am the consort of Lord Shiva, so the only hope for you is to take shelter of Lord Krishna through his devotee, Narottama Das Thakur. And Narottama Das Thakur finally received the message, began to pray to Lord Chaitanya for his mercy and guidance, and the Lord appeared and said, there is no problem for me to deliver anyone through you, so kindly initiate him with the name Krishna Das. Shoo! So Narottama Das Thakur went there, reached Chan Roy, who was practically dead, and the ghost began to speak, please deliver me, this is the ghost, from this most abominable body and let me take birth in the village of Keturi. So he got the ghost out, Chan Roy surrendered himself to the lotus feet of Narottama Das Thakur, became a great devotee, and he became initiated. So later on, all the other kings took advantage of Chan Roy because he became a very peaceful Vaishnava. And he was arrested and beaten up and imprisoned underground and condemned to death. And the father offered rewards to anyone who could get his son out of jail. So one time a mystic accepted this offer, and through his mystical tricks he reached the prison cell underground where Chan Roy was being held. Then he said, Chan Roy, come with me. Chant this mantra to Kali. And Chan Roy got angry with this mystic and said, get the hell out of here. My spiritual master has rescued me from this miserable world, and if you want to entangle me again, I will not accept it. I deserve what I'm suffering now. Tell my father that my only anxiety is my separation from my spiritual master, Narottama Das Thakur. Wow. Then they condemned Chan Roy to be trampled by an elephant, and somehow or other, when the elephant was coming, he opened, reached out, and pulled out the trunk of the elephant, and the elephant died. The king asked him, where did you get your power? And Chan Roy replied, my spiritual master has saved me. It is only his powers to protect me in all those days without any food or water. Hearing this, the envious king surrendered himself also to Narottama Das Thakur. Pretty nice, isn't it? It's a good preaching technique. So, Narottama Das Thakur had an inseparable relationship with Ramchandra Kaviraj, the disciple of his associate, Srinivasacharya. It's described one time he even told Ramchandra Kaviraj to go home and visit his wife, because even though he's married, he never visited his wife. And Ramchandra Kaviraj got about 50 feet away from where Narottama Das Thakur was. And Ramchandra Kaviraj just started sweeping the path, and Narottama Das Thakur looked at him, and Ramchandra Kaviraj started hitting himself with the broom. And Narottama Das Thakur ran up to him and says, "Don't cause me pain," because there was this intimate relationship between them. Very, very nice story. So finally, Ramchandra Kaviraj and his guru Srinivas Acharya went to Vrindavan and they disappeared. And Narottama Das Thakur, when he heard about this, he thought, "I should leave this world too." So he sat himself upon a funeral pyre for 3 days. And the other brahmanas, those who were not his disciples, started to criticize him, saying, "Look at this. This shows a very inauspicious way of disappearing from this world, sitting on a funeral pyre." And so Narottama Das Thakur's disciples, like Ganga and Narayan Chakravarti, pleaded with him. The brahmanas were jeering. And Narottama Das Thakur, at that point, after 3 days, stood up, and a gold Brahman thread manifested on his chest. In those days, actually, also, the Vaishnavas who weren't born in Brahman families didn't wear Brahman threads, and the Vaishnavas who were born in Brahman families took off their Brahman threads when they took initiation in Vaishnavas. Because the Brahman thread was used as a sign of pride in those days. So when a Vaishnava took initiation, he was like giving up his pride. Later on, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instituted that all Vaishnavas should again have Brahman threads. This is for preaching, not that we would be proud, so that we would be accepted when people would ask us about Krishna consciousness. So then Narottama Das Thakur chanted, "Radha Krishna Chaitanya," and he got up and he walked down from the funeral pyre. Later on, it was the time for him to leave this world, so he went to the Ganges and he asked his disciples to massage his body and to pour Ganges water over his head, and he'll give him an abhishek with Ganges water while he's in the Ganges. So as they were doing that, then his body dissolved into the Ganges, became like a milky substance, and that was how he disappeared. There was no samadhi in the normal sense that they would put the body in the ground, and there was no cremation. So some of that milk was preserved. It was like a milky substance. It wasn't exactly milk. And they put it in the samadhi of Narottama Das Thakur, and that's called the Dugdha Samadhi, which means the milk samadhi of Narottama Das Thakur. It's an amazing way of disappearing from this world. Of course, we see many Vaishnavas disappear in different ways. You have, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Toti Gopinath temple, entered the temple, went to the thigh of the deity. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, similar type of disappearance with the Toti Gopinath deity, he didn't come out. Even Mirabai, she went into the temple, into the deity room, and all that was left were her instruments, you know, her veena after that point. So, very, very interesting. So, just to sum it up, Narottama Das Thakur was known as a great exponent of kirtan. Especially, he developed certain types of kirtan. Many of these types of kirtan that he developed and other Vaishnavas developed at that time were like lila kirtans. In other words, while they were chanting with the mridanga and the kartals, they would be telling pastimes. It's more like you had in Europe these bards. Everybody knows what a bard is? Mm-hmm. A bard is like the minstrel. Like a minstrel, he would go and with his lyre or some other instrument, they'd be chanting about different activities of a king or different activities in history or different stories like that. Many of the original stories, even in Europe, were from these bards. So Narottama Das Thakur had kirtans like that, and of course, we're chanting many of his songs every day. As you go into the songbook, you'll see that today, of course, we chant one of his songs, and every day, you know, we chant songs of Narottama Das Thakur. I mean, practically speaking, Shri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Vakati Sadma, you know, the Guru Puja song, and of course, Mangalarti is not Narottama Das Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So his books, writings of poetry, were Prarthana, Prema Bhakti, Chandrika, and some other books. And so today we are commemorating Narottama Das Thakur's disappearance day. It's a very, very important day, and he's a very, very important person in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada loved to chant the songs of Narottama Das Thakur. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
I have this book, Prathana Moment. What I find really wonderful about Narottama Das Thakur's song is that he takes you, it's like our whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he takes you step by step, like we're speaking Vaishnava, spiritual master, feeling remorse, worshiping Nityananda Chaitanya, and then he brings you step by step to then to the worship of Radha and Krishna. So for my own spiritual life, I found it just like by reading the translations and everything, that it's been really like helpful.
Yeah, it's very enlivening. Like you said, it's a gradual progression. You worship the Guru, the Vaishnavas, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you finally end up in Radha and Krishna's transcendental abode. So now we have to end. All glories to Narottama Das Thakur, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.